الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث مشهور إن الله تجاوز لي عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استقره عليه أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام respected elders, brothers in Islam. Today the hadith sharif that I have read to you is a hadith which Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has recorded in his 40 hadiths as well as Ibn Majah in his Sunan, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, outlines certain concessions, certain ease that he has created for us in our religion. We are told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven or overlooked three things in our religion. That when the ummatis, when the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do three mistakes, three things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not directly punish them for it. What are these three things? Al-khata'a, a mistake. That if genuinely in matters of Islam we make a mistake, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us for it. One nisyan, forgetfulness. That if we forget something in our religious duties or in our duties to others in our religion, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us for that forgetfulness. Wa mastukrihu alayh, and those things which we are compelled to do, those things which we are forced, that we find ourselves in a certain situation where, for instance, we are forced to do a certain act, we are forced to eat haram, for instance, or we find ourselves in a place where we have no other food except something which is clearly haram and we eat that just to keep ourselves alive, that what would be considered as istikrah, to compulsion almost. If we find ourselves in a certain situation, then we are told in Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us for this. So in this hadith we are told certain pieces of information. Firstly, we are told that who is allowing this concession? Who is it that has allowed these three things not to be punishable? It is clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we are told that who this concession is for, that who is the person who will benefit from this leniency in our Sharia, and that is clearly the ummatis, the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But additionally, we are told the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed this concession for us. What is the reason that he has allowed certain things in our religion to go unpunished? What is the reason behind that? And when we read the hadith sharif again, we find that there is a very small word which gives us a beautiful indication of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not or will not punish us for these three acts. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven for my sake, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَنْ أُمَّتِي, for my ummah. So here Allah is saying that it is purely because out of the dignity and honor of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has forgiven these things. Purely out of respect of the beloved Messenger. And we see this clearly in the Holy Quran as well, when we are told about the mission of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are told that one of the things that the Prophet came to do, the reason why he appeared, was وَيَدَعُوا عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ, that one of the missions of the Prophet is to lift the burden, lift that weight that was on the shoulders of those people before our ummah. And if we look in relation to previous ummahs, we find that this is the case, that clearly that we have so much ease in our religion, in our Sharia, compared to previous communities. And this is only out of respect, dignity, and love for our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me give you a few examples. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir under this verse that I have read to you, that in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the qawm of Bani Israel, that their Sharia, their fiqh, dictated that if urine was to fall on their clothing, then they had two choices. Either they completely throw away that fabric now, that they never wear that clothes again, or they had to cut out that bit where the urine was on and wear the clothes like that. And compare this with our ummah and our sharia, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sharia clearly says that if urine does drop onto your clothes, then you can clean it with a clean agent, a tahir mutahir agent, and you are free to wear it again. And imagine how much difficulty and trouble we would have every day, that if our sharia said to us, like it said with Bani Israel, that every time some impurity comes on your clothing, then you have to throw it away, or that you have to cut out that bit. Imagine how much difficulty and burden that would be for us. So this is a concession, again, clearly for our ummah and for the sake of the beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, we are told that when women are going through their monthly period, then the husband is not allowed to have intercourse with the wife. Other than that, all other kind of relationships are allowed. That meaning that they are allowed to live in the same house, they are allowed to get on with their everyday life, they are allowed to cook food, to eat together and so forth. Again, what we find is that the ruling for Bani Israel was completely different. And that they were told that when the women were going through monthly periods, then they had to live completely separately from the husband and family. That they were allowed in no contact whatsoever with them. They couldn't live in the same house. They couldn't eat the same food as them. And again, imagine how much difficulty this would cause to all Muslims, to all families throughout the world, if this ruling was still applied here. So clearly, we find that our sharia is a sharia of ease. It is a sharia of concession for us, where the burden has been lifted from us in so many different ways. Going back to the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identifies three things which are not punishable. The first one is al-khata, a mistake. Like for instance, if a person is reading salah and by mistake, rather than reading three rakats for maghrib, he reads four rakats, purely by mistake. Then for that actual mistake, remember that he has not acted upon the sunnah of the Prophet by reading four. The sunnah of the Prophet is to read three. And so he should be duly punished for that. But if he has done it purely as a mistake, then as long as he makes the corrections afterwards in the form of sajda-i sahav, and he realizes his mistakes and he corrects it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish him. Likewise, an-nisyan, forgetfulness. That if, for instance, the ulama ikram say, the Hanafi scholars say, that in the month of Ramadan, if a person is fasting, and out of pure forgetfulness, but pure meaning that it's not on purpose or deliberately, out of pure forgetfulness, he completely forgets that he is fasting and he takes some water for instance. Then what the ulama ikram say, that if this was a genuine mistake and he genuinely forgot, and if for the rest of the day now he does not eat or drink anything, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his roza. And he will not be punished for it, and he will not even have to do qaza for it. Now on the other hand, it is important to note that if a person makes a mistake and he eats something and he thinks that, yes, I have broken my fast now, and then he eats for the rest of the day, then he will have to keep another fast. But if he treats it as a mistake and he doesn't eat anything thereafter, then the ulama ikram clearly state, the Hanafi scholars, that he will not have to do qaza, and that roza will be accepted for him. So here we find the extent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that technically a person has not fasted because he has ate or he has drank something, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he will still get that same reward. And this is something that we tend to forget, the concessions that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given to us. And likewise, istikra is when the ulama ikram state, for instance, if a person is captured by non-Muslims and he is told to read kalima kufr, he is told to believe in another god other than Allah, or he has gone to a certain place and he is forced to drink alcohol out, and his own soul, his own life is in danger because of it, the ulama ikram give rukhsa, give an opportunity for that person, allowing him to do those actions. illa man ukriha wa qalbahu mutma'innun bil iman. The Quran says, as long as his heart, however, is content with iman, meaning that he will openly do these things to save his life, but as long as his own soul and his heart is content with iman, that he has not lost Islam in any way. And we find this time and time again, not just in this hadith, time and time again we find that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did in his life, he kept us in mind, and he thought about us and how much of a burden or how easy it would be for us to follow his sunnah. And we find that to the extent that it was not only the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, sometimes the Prophet wouldn't do something deliberately so it would not be a burden upon his ummah. Like for instance, we know that in the month of Ramadan we are required to perform Salatul Taraweeh in the evenings, and this has been classified by the ulama ikram as sunnatul muakkada. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam quite deliberately in his lifetime missed out some Salatul Taraweehs, and the only reason he did that was because he knew that if he was to perform every single Salatul Taraweeh in his lifetime, then this would become farz and wajib upon his ummah, and this perhaps would become a burden upon his people. So for no other reason whatsoever. Otherwise, as you can imagine, it was not difficult for the Prophet to read Salatul Taraweeh throughout his lifetime. For most of his life, he was reading extra tahajjud prayers each night, to the extent that his feet became swollen. It would not have troubled him to read the extra Salatul Taraweeh. But the only reason he didn't was purely out of care and concession for his followers. And likewise, we are told that we should perform miswak, we should clean our teeth with the miswak stick at every salah. And again, this is something which was highly encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did leave it out on a few occasions. And again, this was for no other reason than to be a form of rahmah for his ummah. And he said himself that لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسَّوَاقِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. That if I did not consider it a burden for my ummah, then I would tell them to do it at every single salah. So this clearly shows, as with many other examples, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did certain actions, it was purely for our benefit, purely for his sinful ummatis like you and I in mind. And this shows the extent of the rahmah of our religion, and it is imperative upon us to take advantage of the concessions of the ease that we have in our sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon the sunnah of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balahu al-mubin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.